just rocket into the room, and the first thing out of her mouth would be, "Good morning, saints." And this was the first semester of seminary, so we were looking around like, I don't think she knows her audience. And it took us a while to get used to that, because she would start every class with that, "Good morning, saints." And it eventually came to our understanding that saints weren't just folks in stained glass windows or marble statues, but saints weren't the varsity squad of church history, as we call it, the people that are named on the chain and the people in the Bible. And it became clear to us that saints were ordinary people, and not just ordinary holy people, although that certainly is true, but holy ones. That's how the New Testament refers to Christians, actually, is saints, as holy ones, as ones being made holy, as works in progress, as you will, if you will. And the New Testament essentially gives us this understanding that we are all in works in progress of being formed into the image of Christ, and therefore we are saints. The writer of Ephesians on this All Saints Day gives us this really rich image of inheritance. He writes about the inheritance among the saints. Heritage is another word. Now, inheritance is one of those loaded words that if we started doing all this free associating, we'd think different things. What's the first thing that you think about in terms of inheritance? Money. If you're lucky enough to get it. You probably could picture in your mind so many of the movies where they have this very dramatic reading of the will in some attorney's office, and heirs to the fortune start to squabble over the goods. Or maybe you think about, those of you of a certain age, the movie or the TV show Dallas. You know, in the Ewing family, and they were kind of getting at each other's throats, trying to figure out who could run Ewing Oil Company and South Fork Ranch. And my father-in-law, who is a lawyer dealing with probate, says that nothing really goes sour like money at the time of death. A couple of you are laughing because you know what that's like. That there can be this family conflict that surrounds inheritance. Now, of course, a lot of these examples fall short because many of us don't inherit money. And we know now the extent of income inequality and how that is perpetuated over the generations when wealth doesn't transfer because it wasn't there in the first place. And of course, we inherit physical things. We inherit maybe jewelry and mementos and keepsakes. We inherit physical traits. I have what we in my family call the Davis nose. And if you see Dad, you see where I got that from. You've been wondering, haven't you? And some of the things that we inherit, let's be honest, are not that rich of an inheritance. We inherit so many toxic family patterns, so many worn out ways of being that don't serve one generation well that used to serve another. And so inheritance really, in most senses of what we mean, it is a mixed bag. It's blessings and curses. Because it's true that even within our genes, even within our DNA, we carry both trauma and resilience. We carry within our bodies pain that is passed down from generations, but also the ability and the courage to stand up to the difficulties and to overcome. When inheritance, as the writer of Ephesians uses it, they would understand it, the audience would understand it in much the same way that we do today, as wealth that is transferred down through the generations, land mainly. And the writer of Ephesians, who scholars debate is either Paul or an associate of the Apostle Paul, takes this image of inheritance and expands it in a spiritual sense. And he talks about the unity of the church, of Christ's body, which in Ephesus, as it was in other places, was a mixture of people, rich and poor, Jew and Gentile. And the argument that the writer is making earlier in the chapter is that this whole family, God's whole family, was brought together by adoption in Christ. And the writer is trying to encourage the church to think about the rich heritage, the rich inheritance that they have as God's own possession. He says that the inheritance among the saints, the riches in Christ, include a treasure trove of things, of the promise of being God's own people. It includes the hope of the resurrection, the presence of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of believers, as well as in the life of the church. And this heritage includes this radical unity with one another that transcends all sorts of social categories. And in this inheritance is that power that God was given to Christ, that power of the resurrection, the real power at work in the world. And I think it's significant then that the writer addresses this new fledgling congregation, this wonderful multicultural diverse group of people in the context of the Roman Empire, that reminds them that the real power at work in the world is the power of Christ and the power of love. So when the writer writes that far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name, even the name of Caesar, is the name of Christ. And that is the inheritance given to the church, bequeathed to the church. And so it is that today we have this really marvelous gift of All Saints Day. And I like to think that John Calvin, who has his names on one of those links in the chain, that maybe he's rolling over in his grave a little, that Presbyterians are lighting candles and putting up pictures of their loved ones. But I think he would come around eventually to understand that this is such a gift to us from other cultures. And it's something that Christians have been doing for hundreds and hundreds of years. Today is a day for us to reflect on the good, rich inheritance that we have been given as God's people. Our family and friends, our teachers, our neighbors, our mentors, people we've looked up to for our whole lives, people who we've never met but who have profoundly shaped us by what they've endeavored to do and to be in the world. And not just those folks, but on All Saints Day, we give thanks for the unnamed millions of people who have laid the foundations for us. Here in this country, we get really accustomed to thinking that we just pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, that we make it completely on our own. But on All Saints Day, we remember that that's not true, that so many of us came to this point of existing because of the labor of others. And that's when the church talks about the great cloud of witnesses. It talks about the church's spiritual heritage, that we are surrounded by those who have run with endurance the race that was set before them. It makes me think of the scene from the movie Selma, where Amelia Boynton is talking to Coretta Scott Keene. I believe it's the night before the Edmund Pettus Bridge violence. And it's right before a mass meeting. And Coretta is, or Mrs. King, is obviously very nervous about what's about to happen. And Amelia Boynton says to her, "When I am worried, when I am in times of trouble, I know that we are descendants of a mighty people who gave civilization to the world. People who survived the hulls of slave ships across vast oceans. People who innovate and create and love despite pressures and tortures unimaginable. They are in our bloodstream," she says, "pumping our hearts every second. They've prepared you. You're already prepared." I think that's true for us if we contemplate our heritage. In the words of Linda Hogan, who describes a walk in the woods. She said, walking, I am listening to a deeper way. And suddenly all my ancestors are behind me. Be still, they say. Watch and listen. You are the result of the love of thousands. So All Saints Day is, I think, at its heart, really about our quite small place within the web of creation that is formed by all those different chains. And this is a day for us to remember with a little humility and a whole lot of gratitude all those who have come before us and who have brought us to this moment. And it's a day for remembering that so many will come after us. And that gives a heightened sense of urgency to the challenges of these days, that we make the right choices for the sake of future generations. That when it is said of us what we did in this day and time, that we might be called saints, works in progress, who are trying to join God in what God is doing to shape the world. So that's the good news, I think, on this All Saints Day, that that same power that it was at work in Christ, the same life-giving, life-affirming, death-defeating power of the resurrection, that that same power was at work in all our loved ones, in the ones we name, in the ones we've forgotten, even the ones maybe that weren't so saintly, that maybe God was even using them to bring us to this moment. And the good news is that same power that was at work in them is also at work in us. That the Spirit of the living God is loose in the world and is shaping us to be ambassadors of God's reign and to shine light into dark places and to breathe life into dead places. So I say to you, good morning, saints. This is our inheritance. This is our heritage. Let's spend it wastefully. Amen.